serviced by banks, and oh, surprise, surprise, it bombed. So we'll talk about that this evening. Also, the ratings, what happens next now that Moody's has said, okay, fine, we'll give you one more chance, but just one more, and the backdrop against plummeting jobs numbers. That is the big crisis story today. Unemployment is rising and falling very, and unemployment is rising, and the number of people in work is falling, which is desperately concerning.
The Money Show on 702, your number one news and talk station.
Well, unemployment now back at 2008 levels. When the Labour Force survey started in 2008, the numbers were pretty awful, and so we're back at those pretty awful levels now. The Labour Force survey might as well be, for most of us, be written in hieroglyphics or Greek. It uses lots of terminology that we don't use in our everyday lives. But bottom line, the economy is practically stagnant. People are losing their jobs faster than new opportunities are being created. For one, the economist Iraj Abedian, the chief executive of Pan African Holdings, is very, very worried.
Growth has plummeted and there isn't a growth prospect. Now those companies who do not see any light at the end of the tunnel resort to the last measure, which is laying off people. And we also have some of the farming sectors or sub-sectors have suffered because of the drought, and they too laying off workers. So I think unemployment is the other side of growth. If growth picks up, unemployment usually tends to go up and definitely not fall. But when growth plummets, you can rest assured sooner or later unemployment will go up.
Yep, and most certainly is going up. Now, Anne Bernstein is Executive Director at the Center for Development and Enterprise. We had her on a couple of weeks ago talking about South Africa's unemployment crisis. And if there's one person in South Africa probably not surprised by today's data, Anne Bernstein, I would say that's you.
Well, this is devastating news. No, this could have been, this was, you know, we knew that jobs were going to be lost. And without growth and without job-rich growth, South Africa is in deep trouble. This is 355,000 jobs is a big number. Just to compare, South Africa lost 1 million jobs at the end of 2008, the beginning of 2010, with the sort of worst financial crisis since the Great Depression. We've just lost 355,000. So this is a very big jump. And if the numbers are right and if this trend continues, it's just reinforcing the enormous crisis in the country.
We're just not evolving our thinking on jobs nearly quickly enough, Anne.
Hello?
Well, yeah, my question to you is, are we evolving our thinking on jobs and work fast enough?
No, I don't think so. I don't think South Africans take the unemployment crisis seriously enough. And part of what we're trying to do is to talk to as many audiences as possible on, we have to change what we're doing. We have to make this a much more labor-intensive economy, and that will require reform. So everybody wants growth in South Africa, but nobody wants change. And we're saying to get jobs, we have to get growth, and we have to make it job-rich growth, and that will require serious reform.
I mean, we had you in studio a few weeks ago, and you intimated that you were being asked to go to, I don't know, high-flying and interesting places to go and talk to people about the research you'd done about employment and unemployment and the crisis we faced. What's been the response to the research?
Well, I was on Friday night, while you were all having a jolly time, I was in KwaZulu-Natal at a foundation that is supported by Dr. Zweli Mkhize, one of the top six in the ANC, and people were really interested to talk about these issues. So, look, until we get policy change, I can't say that we're having success, but we're certainly getting invited all over town to talk about how South Africa gets job-rich growth. And in 10 days' time, I will be in Port Elizabeth, where we'll be talking about our proposal for low-skill manufacturing in an export processing zone in the Nelson Mandela Bay Metro, and we certainly hope that we can get some support there. Perhaps it'll even become an election issue.
No invitations yet to the union buildings then. I mean, it's very nice to go to KwaZulu-Natal. It's very nice to go to Port Elizabeth, but policy is made in Pretoria, not in those towns.
Not yet. Not yet, but I'm optimistic.
Anne Bernstein, thank you, Executive Director at the Centre for Development and Enterprise. Mamohete Molopiane is the Mining and Labour Analyst. Your take on these jobs numbers, Mamohete?
Hi, Bruce and your listeners. Absolutely devastating. I mean, when you look at the period of where we have lost most of the jobs, it's quite frightening. And I think, as my colleague over this, Anne, was saying, that there needs to be a move, a change in policy making. And I happen to always be engaged in Pretoria and Tshwane, where policy is made, and trying to convince those influencers of policy that unless we do something different, and by that I mean unless we put development, unless we put skills at the top of our priority, we will not be able to recover the jobs that we have lost. Or also, we will not be able to put back those who have skills but are now unemployed back into the economy.
Now, and I mean, again, we talk, and you get invited to chat, and Anne's going around the country talking, and that's good. Talking is wonderful. It's better than not talking, but it's not doing, is it?
Yes, and sadly, it's often one of the things that I publicly, and I'm beginning to be known about it for lamenting the fact that we will have this engagement, we will have this Ibizo Slokotla discussions, dialogue, but the implementation fails. And I think we do not emphasize that enough in the South African economic and developmental objectives and priorities when it comes to job creation, and how it's not necessarily the task of government, but that the state, the policy makers must enable an environment that allows for the private sector, for corporate South Africa to create jobs. Now, on Friday, I was speaking at a forum in the private sector about that, and often comes out from the private sector that they find themselves hitting a wall brick when it comes to engaging policymakers about how do we create jobs that can absorb some of the skills we have lost due to retrenchment back into our economy.
But we're not, again, as Anne Bernstein was intimating, we're not prepared to have the tough conversations, and those tough conversations taking the conversation away from decent jobs and for decent wages. And everybody would love a decent job and a decent wage. We'd all like that, of course. But at the same time, it's not an economy which is creating those jobs. So we need to think about it differently.
Does not lie with the policymakers in labour and job creation, and at a government level, but it sits also with the people who direct our financial policies to say, what do we mean? I mean, over the past 10 years, we have looked at new growth path, we have looked at the national development plan, and we are talking about skills and youth wage subsidy, but where are they feeding into the broader picture? And there lies in the disconnect. And I'm often asked, especially by private sector clients, that says, but how can we engage with government on that so that we can enable an environment? And up until our policymakers are willing to engage and move beyond the rhetoric of talking about jobs, but also move beyond the rhetoric of aligning our policies, linked to the skills we have, we are going to be stuck in the same place. And that's very worrying. That's very concerning in the economic context in the context of our economy at the moment.
Mamohete Molopiane, thank you very much. Before her, Anne Bernstein, Executive Director at the Center for Enterprise and Development. And take it away from the theory, take it away from the impact that it has on the economy, take it away from the ratings threat, because part of unemployment is political and social instability. Take that away and just go into a household where a breadwinner has come home at the end of the day and has said, you know what, there isn't a paycheck next month, been laid off. I was on a contract, there's no severance payment, there's no retrenchment payment, the company's gone bust, or there just is no job, or the job that I'm doing no longer exists. We face a crisis of unprecedented proportions, and we sit and talk about it, and I mean, I wish I could do more, but how do we fix the crisis of jobs? Love your calls, isn't it?
EWN
traffic.
We're still seeing major delays on the November 1 south out of Bergbron or out of Flora Cliff towards the Deep Kloof interchange, and that's apparently due to an earlier accident there. And there are delays also on both sides of the Mike 1 north and south. But let's just start on the southern side. Slow moving traffic just after Houghton Drive towards Boysons and on the M2 from Moy Street, and that's due to the long-term roadworks. The northerly direction, slow traffic there around Empire Road and St. Andrews at that too, and that's because of the roadworks. And on the Mike 1 north, delays from Melrose Arch up until New Road on the November 1 north highway. Tseho Modisani, EWN Traffic.
EWN Traffic.
As an employer, you need to know how the new tax laws amendment affects your company's pay and retirement arrangements. You need to know how your payroll is impacted and how much your employees can save and how much tax they will pay, because now they can save up to 27.5% of their salary tax-free, up to 350,000 Rand per year. Help your employees know more and plan better for their retirement by speaking to an Old Mutual financial advisor or broker. Or go to oldmutual.com/taxlaw, one word. Do great things. Old Mutual is a licensed financial services provider.
John Robbie. Weekday mornings, 6 to 9.
How about this plot that's been revealed to kill Thuli Madonsela, to murder Thuli Madonsela? It seems like this Western Cape gang boss has already been paid R750,000 to orchestrate her murder. I mean, it is very, very sinister indeed. And in some ways, it's no surprise when you think of her track record. She's endured insult, she's endured harassment, and she's delivered the goods.
John Robbie on 702, your number one. News and talk station.
If you have suffered severely at the very hands of those medical doctors and hospitals who were meant to help you, our dedicated team at Munro Flowers and Famark Attorneys are the very first people to call. Our experienced attorneys will investigate every aspect of your case to ensure the best possible result for you. So call Stephen Flowers or Karen Famark at Munro Flowers and Famark Attorneys on 011-327-5418. Munro Flowers and Famark, specialists in medical malpractice.
The multi-award-winning Midran Conference Centre and Villa Toscana Wedding Village now offers all the facilities of a hotel with guest houses, five chapels, a la carte restaurant and fitness club. We accommodate 236 guests and offer 17 conference and function halls. Prices tailored to suit your pocket. Go to midranconferencecentre.co.za.
If you know that pips, points and ticks are terms used to describe price change